Now, for today, I want to just recap a little bit what I said last week. Last week, we considered the power of the tongue. All right? We talked about what a fire the tongue is, James says, and how important it is to really watch our speech, and even more than that, ask God to give us his character so that the words that we say would not bring harm to people's life, but rather they would speak life to other people. And what I said back then, as I read through James 3, is that I wanted to come back and touch on one specific area, that kind of speaking that we refer to as teaching. Talk a little bit, what does it mean to teach? And really dig into what James said. So let's just start with that. Let's look at James 3, just verse 1 this morning to begin with. So if you have a Bible with you, or go ahead and open up to James. If you don't have a Bible, we should have plenty of Bibles around that you could follow along. Let's get to James chapter 3, and we're just going to read verse 1 to get things started this morning. Okay. James 3:1 says this, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." It says it slightly different in a different translation than I wrote in my notes here from the English Standard Translation, English Standard Version, which is a little bit more, try to be word for word literal of the translation of the text. And it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." Now, it's easy to do what I've done many times throughout my life as a Christian, to read that and just go quickly past it and say, you know what? I don't need to be a teacher. Somebody else can do it. Let them deal with the headache, because apparently they're more strictly judged, and I'm just not going to deal with it. But there are reasons I think it's important for all of us to take some time and really spend some time with this text and consider what James is talking about. Because first of all, as followers of Christ, every one of us is called to be witnesses to the gospel. That means we need to be able to tell people in at least some small way who Jesus is, why he came, what he accomplished in his death and resurrection, why knowing him and understanding who he truly is important to all people, and what he's done for you. Why do you believe in him? As 1 Peter 3:15 says, "In your hearts honor Christ as Lord and holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you." It's important that you're ready to be able to share with people, and that means to teach them something about the gospel. We all have this tendency to keep our faith to ourselves and focus on growing ourselves, but we're all responsible, at least in some way, to teach other people something about the gospel. So it's important for us to understand this caution that James is raising about teachers. And the second reason this is important for us, specifically us as True North, to consider is that we are a growing church. And I believe that we're really at an exciting stage of growth right now. There's a turning point coming for us. As a church body, there's some changes that need to be made in order for us to reach a new level of ministry, a new level of growth. And some of those changes are already starting to happen. I really began to see it when we had our ministry fair last fall. We started having people sign up for doing different ministries. And the follow-up to that has been to start establishing some different ministry teams. And what that means is putting people in place to lead those teams, kind of delegating things out to another level within our church. Right now, I'm working on setting up guidelines for those teams and develop some training that's going to take us to another level of ministry. Trying to build new ways to help connect new people that come into the church. Those regular prayer meetings that I have are another big part of that, of keeping prayer as a vital part of who we are. And along these lines, I also have a little announcement to make right now as part of this message, that our Wednesday Bible study group has got something happening. We just had a meeting last Wednesday, and we had a discussion of throwing out all kinds of ideas of changes we want to make so we can be more effective on Wednesday nights. It's going to be big and exciting. We want to turn that evening into a family time, a time where everyone of any age level, you know, when we say family, we mean everybody in the church, of all ages, all stages of life, can come together for something dynamic, something where we can grow deeper together. We're talking about having people come together for some worship, some prayer, having different groups meeting throughout the building with different studies going on, and those things can change over time. Right now, I just threw out a whole bunch of ideas, and we're going to be planning this, but I want you to know within the next couple weeks, there is something big coming Wednesday nights. It's going to change the character of our church. And we pray, and we believe that God is leading us into us to bring us to a deeper level of growth throughout our whole church family. And bring us some new, a new level of fellowship and some excitement that of things that he's going to be doing in the community. God has these big things planned, but what this means is part of what we all need to do in this church is discover a new level of ministry. All of these changes we're talking about involve having people within this church move beyond just serving the church and offering their time to do things, but really stepping up to take the lead, to lead different ministry areas, to take responsibility not just for certain functions, but to lead a group of people. And if you're going to lead a group of people, guess what? You're going to have to do some teaching at some point, especially in the church. Because anybody who's leading anything has to keep in mind that what we're all about is the gospel. We're all about building up godly character, not just doing the things that we gather together to do. And in this Wednesday night time, in addition to any other Bible studies that we meet throughout the week at other times, involves having more people discovering a calling in their life to teach God's word. And it may be that God is calling you to be a teacher. Just because James says not many of you should become teachers doesn't mean that he's not calling you to be. And it's important that we all take this time to consider, well, what does that mean to be a teacher? And what is James really talking about here? So let's just take a look at this statement again. It says, not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Now, he's not just saying most of you shouldn't even try. And just leave that to us chosen few who know what we're doing, right? That's not what he's saying, but it's easy to interpret it that way. I've done it that way myself. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to do it. What he is saying is you need to stop and think about it, though. Don't just jump into this. There is more to teaching than just getting up in front of a people and spouting off things that you know. It's more than just saying, hey, you know what? I know a thing or two. I've been around the block a couple times. I can share my experiences. There's more to it than that. It's a caution that I want us all to be aware of as we continue to grow as a church. And each of you continues to grow in your knowledge and understanding of the Lord. Because I think it's important for me as a pastor always be encouraging you to step out in faith, to say more, to share more things. And it can come across as though I just want to open the floodgates and let everyone say whatever they want. But we all need to understand there is a but there. There is a caution that we have to be aware of. And as much as I want you to share and freely let out what God has done in your life, I want you to be careful with it as well. When we talked about Wednesday nights, we talked about all the different people who could be leading different things, and we're like, that would be great. And just as we said that, we're just like, oh, but that could be scary too. And it's very true, because there's something about teaching that we need to consider and we need to keep in mind. So first, I think you need to understand that there are a couple traps that you can step into pretty easily as a teacher. And before we start talking about those traps, I want to start with a little demonstration today. Do something a little bit different, a little bit fun. So I would like you all to stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to play a game. All right. You like games. You've all heard of Simon Says. Instead of Simon Says, we're going to say Pastor Scott Says. All right. So in case you don't know the rules, this is how it works. I'm going to give you some commands. If I say Pastor Scott says, then you go ahead and do it. If I don't say that, then don't do it. All right? So let's just do a little test. Pastor Scott says, raise your right hand. All right? Now put your hand down. Okay, come on! Let's try to do an easy one. Pastor Scott says, put your hand down. Okay. Pastor Scott says, jump up and down 3 times. Okay. Pastor Scott says, turn to the person on your right and tell them that God loves them. If there's nobody there, that's okay. Pastor Scott says, turn to somebody else. Let's go to the left. And if there's nobody on your left, find somebody else and just greet them in the best way you know how to let them know that you're glad they're here. All right, this is harder than I thought it would be, to come up with stuff. Okay, why don't you go ahead and sit down? No, seriously. Go ahead and sit down. You guys are good. I was going to try to trap you. Pastor Scott says sit down. I thought I'd trick more people than that. Darn. But do you guys see what just happened there? I mean, it was fun to do that. But what I was demonstrating in there is one of the things that happens when you teach. With teaching comes a certain amount of influence and power over people's lives. You have the ability to change the way people think, the way they act, the way they live their lives when you teach. Automatically, when you get into a teaching position, people assume certain things about you. They assume that you know what you're talking about. They assume that you have the authority to speak into their lives. And they listen to you and they do what you say. And there's a trap in that. They call the power trap. When we have the ability to change people's lives, you can suddenly find yourself enjoying that power. There are many people both in and out of the church who have been lured by that power and they've trapped and been trapped by it. They may begin well, and they start to use their position to help people do good things, but then they decide, you know what, I need to get people to do what I want them to do. And they come up with reasons to justify controlling people's behaviors. It's for their own good. You know how people just fall into sin all the time, and they're going to make bad choices, and so as a leader, as a pastor, as a teacher, it's my job to make sure they don't do those things anymore. And we start to use that power of teaching to control the way people live. We say they're going to be led astray unless I make sure they're doing the right things. They're going to say the wrong things unless I tell them what to say. And I've known many teachers in all areas of life, both in school, on TV, you go to seminars, you read their books, and even in church pulpits. People who've decided it's their duty to make sure people know the way to behave, and they're going to be responsible for making sure people do it. And they use the power of teaching to do it. But when you step into that power trap, you turn from teaching God's will to teaching your will. You're not allowing people to grow as God directs them. You're trying to direct them the way you want them to grow, using your limited vision of what life looks like. So when you become a teacher in any way, you need to check your motives. We're supposed to be pointing people toward Christ and inviting Him to work in their lives. Do you get overly concerned about the choices people are making? Yes, we need to be concerned about people's choices. And yes, we need to teach them truth. But do you get overly concerned where you feel like you need to be responsible for making sure they're doing the right thing? You're starting to step into that power trap. Are we focusing on the fact that people are not doing what we have taught them from God's word? And what will happen? I'm sorry, let me just say that again. Do you focus on the fact that people are not doing what you have taught them to do from God's word? And then deciding you must do something about it. If you ever teach anyone, I need you to know that people will decide not to do what you told them to do, just as much as they decide to do it. And you're going to get frustrated with that sometimes. And you're going to say, darn it, why aren't they listening to me? And you can make a choice in that moment, either to pray and let God do what He's going to do, or you can step in the power trap and say, I'm going to make sure they do the right thing. We've got to watch out for that. It's an automatic part of any kind of teaching that we need to be aware of. So we always need to be checking our motives and praying for God's power to work through our teaching and not our own. Now, the second trap is related to that one. It's called the pride trap. And this one is very easy to fall into if you're not watching for it. And I think you're especially vulnerable as a young teacher and somebody who's just taking their first steps of faith to actually say in front of people what God wants them to say. You've taken a lot of courage. You've put a lot of faith in God to help you overcome some fears. And then this trap is really standing right before you like a big pit. Because there's something that happens when you start to teach people. They're interested in what you have to say. They enjoy hearing what you've said, and they want you to know about it. They want to encourage you, which is a good thing. So you put yourself into this teaching position, and you're going to start hearing things like, wow, that was so wonderful. Oh, you did such an amazing job. I couldn't have done that myself. You'll start to hear things like, man, you should do that more often. Holy cow, you are gifted. And here's what can happen. You can believe them. You can believe how gifted you are. You go, wow, I guess I am good at this. Oh, I should do more of this. More people should come hear what I have to say. Right? Because you heard it, and there are things you can do to ensure that you keep hearing that. Right? You can change the way you teach. You can change the way you say things. You can focus on certain things that will ensure that people will enjoy what you say. And you will always find people that will come up to you and say, wow, that was a wonderful thing. And you get stuck in that trap of pride. And again, I'll say it's good when people encourage you. It's great to know that you've had a positive effect on them. But you have to so carefully watch your step with that. And it's not to say you have to demean yourself and tell yourself, oh, no, it was just terrible. No, you have to watch who you're giving the credit to, really. You don't want your teaching to be focused on you and what you say and how you speak and all the fun things that you can do. You want your teaching to be focused on God and His Word. You don't want to be focused on getting praise for what a good thing you're doing or even what a good servant of God you are. You want praise for the Lord Himself. It's so important for any Christ-centered teacher to always maintain their position as a servant of the Lord. Remind themselves of statements such as you find in Romans 11:36, which says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever." And when we say through Him and to Him are all things, we include even those things that you teach to people. That He has given you the words to say. That He is the one prompting you to speak to people. When you finally get up the courage to go share with your friend about the importance of faith in your life, give God the credit for prompting you like that. Jesus described these dangers that I've talked about already when He chastised teachers of His time. I'm just going to read a little bit from Matthew 23. Really, the whole chapter of Matthew 23 addresses these things, but I'm just going to share the first 12 verses with you. This is what Jesus said to the Pharisees and the teachers of His time. This says, Jesus said to the crowds and to His disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you." And right there is a good point to stop and say, you know, Jesus even says, it's important to listen to teachers. It's important to let them be authorities. But, He said, "Do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." He's addressing those two issues of pride and power that come. It's important as a servant of the Lord to always maintain that position, to not lift yourself above, to say, I am greater than all of the rest of you because God has anointed me in some way. And it's an easy trap to fall into if you're going to be teaching in any way. And I emphasize that in any way because many of us won't be teaching large groups of people, but you will be teaching somebody about Christ in some way, and it's still easy to fall into those traps then. Now, we also need to take a close look at this warning James gets about teachers being judged more strictly. There's a couple ways in which that happens, I think. First, you are going to be judged in how you handle challenges. One of the best theology teachers I ever had told us that his job was not to just provide us theology students with answers to all of our questions, but rather to teach us how to think and come up with the answers on our own. Because he said that if you're going to be church leaders, pastors, ministry leaders, you need to be ready for the fact that when you teach people things, they're going to have questions. And some of those questions are going to be tough. And they're going to want to know how you came up with the things that you taught. Some people are going to challenge you on what you said. They're going to say, now, wait a minute. I don't think that's right. Prove to me that what you're telling me is the truth. Because not everyone just listens to you and just agrees with what you have to say. People are going to have questions and challenges. And you need to know how to handle those challenges. The same is true no matter what level of teaching you do. If you tell your kids about Jesus, they're going to have questions for you. And some of them are going to be tough. If you share Christ with a friend, they may challenge you. And you need to know how to respond to those things. You're going to be judged in how you respond. Your credibility with them, and more importantly, your credibility with the Lord, is going to depend on your response to those challenges. There are a couple of really easy responses we actually need to be careful not to do. The first is to treat their questions as ridiculous or irrelevant. To let those people know that you're really not interested in helping them. You just discredit yourself at that point. You can attack people for questioning you. You can let them know that they don't have the right to question you. I have heard teachers publicly insult anyone who has challenged them, blasting them in front of crowds for daring to criticize them. And they feel that's the right way to handle a challenge. I'm just going to discredit them by insulting them, and then nobody will listen to them. They'll know that I am the better person. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Anyone who has done that, I've said, you know what? However good of a teacher they've been, I don't think I should listen to them. And as Christians, the mistake we sometimes make is just use our own feelings and experiences to support the things that we teach. Now, that's not to say that we don't share what God has done. That's sharing our experiences. But are you going to use those things to support what you're teaching? It's very important as a teacher of God's word to use scripture to back up what you say. We ought to be teaching what God's word says and not adding things to it or making up new things. And so we need to be able to back up what we say with the word. Don't respond to people saying, well, this is what I think is correct, or this is what I have heard before. But be able to sit down with them and say, okay, let's open up the Bible together. Here's your point of view. What scripture backs that up? Here's my point of view. What backs scripture up? And then even be careful to admit what is your opinion and what the Bible actually says. There are areas of theology that we don't agree on, because it's not clear what the scripture says, but the major things are right in there, and you can always point to scripture and say, this is what God said, and we can back it up with the word, not just with our own thoughts and experiences. And so if you're going to handle challenges, make sure you have that as an emphasis. If somebody's going to challenge what you tell them, be ready to pull out your Bible and say, well, let's talk about this. Let's explore it. Don't just dismiss them. Don't yell at them. Make up stuff, but use God's word to back it up. Now, another area to consider is judgment in how you handle that word. So there are lots of false teachers in the world, lots of people who lead people astray all the time. A big problem with those false teachers is many of them don't even realize they are. They don't know that they're teaching wrong things because they really haven't been careful about what they're teaching. The Apostle Paul warned Timothy about this in 2 Timothy 2:15. He said, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." It's important to use God's word well, to not just open it up, read a passage, and then suddenly start teaching off of that sentence because it's completely taken out of context. You got to understand the message of God's word and how these things fit together and read context. There's a couple things that can happen if you're not careful about what you teach that we need to be aware of. And this is the kind of judgment that James is talking about. So remember that you have power and influence as a teacher. People listen to you, but what happens when they discover, if they discover, you've been teaching them the wrong things? How many people do you know who have decided they're not going to listen to anyone because they have been hurt by some teacher? They have been lied to by somebody. And they shut themselves off from ever listening to anyone because they're not going to be deceived anymore. I don't want to be responsible for doing that to somebody. I don't think any of us wants to do that. People can harden their hearts against all teachers, deciding that nobody is worth trusting. And they can even erode their trust in God himself. We also have to consider the damage it does to people's lives and their relationships with the Lord if we teach them the wrong things. Listen to what Jesus says about this in Mark 9:42. He says, "Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for them if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." That's how seriously Jesus takes teaching. He would rather you were thrown into the bottom of the ocean than lead people into sin. And his harshest words were against those who did not lead and teach the people properly. And so there's judgment that comes from the Lord in the way that we teach about him. We need to let our love for the Lord convict us to do it well, to be careful with what we teach. Now, it is important to remember that we're not going to be perfect. We're going to make mistakes. And I'm not saying in all this that you have to get everything perfect before you ever start to teach somebody something. Because God does have grace and forgiveness if we make mistakes. What matters is the state of our heart. Are we humble enough to admit it when we make mistakes? Are we humble enough to talk to people and say, "Oh, you're right, I'm wrong," and to make corrections about things? And are you humble enough to keep being that servant that always continues to learn more, to dig in deeper, to do better than we did before, and continue to study and learn and grow? Now, the point I always want to come back to at an end of a message like this is this, that there are important things for us to know here. There are lessons that we need to apply to our lives. There are cautions we need to be aware of. We do need to be careful about the things that we teach to other people and take that seriously. But the best thing you can do to really apply those things to your life is to submit yourself even more completely to the Lord. Not go out of here saying, "Okay, Pastor Scott just told me I got to be careful and I'm just going to restrict myself." No. What you really need is to submit to the Lord. Draw closer to him. Go deeper in your study of him. Take your relationship with him seriously. Love him all the more. Don't be afraid to step out and speak about him. Don't be afraid to teach what he teaches you. Especially if you start to find that maybe God is calling you to do more of that. Take advantage of opportunities to do it. But be aware of these cautions. Be aware of the traps. And ask the Lord to help you step around them. Ask the Lord to help you do well. Understand the standards that God calls us to and the judgments that will come. And just be prepared as best you can. And ask the Lord to guard your heart and guard you against those pitfalls and to prepare your mind to face the challenges that may come, so that you can serve him well and bear great fruit for his kingdom. And I just close by coming back to this statement: "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." Everything that we do as a church, we want to give acknowledgement to the Lord. And I do want to encourage you to speak your faith, to teach people about the Lord. Just be aware of these things and ask the Lord to guard over you. And give him praise for every word that you say on his behalf. Let's give thanks to God for the opportunity he gives us to be teachers of his word in this world. But let's ask him also to draw close to him, draw us close to him, and draw us deeper into him so that we can do it well. Let's pray together and then praise him with one more song. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak today about teaching. It's something that has been on my heart for a while. And I pray that these words that we've spoken today would sink into our hearts, Lord, that we would take seriously the role that you've given us, that we would understand that there is work involved to do our job well for you. But let us not be so hindered by that we are paralyzed by the fear of it, that we hold back because we don't want to do damage, Lord. Give us great faith in you and trust in your ability to speak through us, to cover over any mistakes that we may make. Give us great faith in your ability, Lord, to change people's lives, not ours. Give us joy as we continue to grow together and share with one another and all of those people we come in contact with you, the great things that you have done in our lives, the great opportunities we have to praise you and give you glory for all things in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.